try that again. Y'all too busy hugging. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Well, we are in a series called God's Will Is. And last week, we had a really good conversation about what the Lord's will is for your life. We talked about Colossians 3:17, and that's where we'll start today. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Colossians 3:17. We're going to pick this back up this week. I don't know about y'all, but last week freed me. I was so free because I've been trying to get the details about what God is trying to do in my life. And God was saying, if you would focus on my ways, then you'll definitely end up walking in my will instead of worrying about the will to try to do my ways. And so if those of you missed that message, don't worry. It's free. You don't even have to pay for it. You can go on the website, listen to the podcast, and get that message. I encourage you to do it because it was such a powerful message. All right? Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. I'm going to ask you to stand one more time before it's time to leave. Unless you want to stand and shout during the message, I'm all right with that too. All right. Come on, stand to your feet. Grab your Bible. Stick your finger in your Bible or hold your Bible and electronic device high in the air. We're going to be saying our Bible affirmation together. Let us read. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Amen. We're going to be reading from the New King James Version. If you have a different version, no worries. The words will appear on your screen. We're just going to be reading one verse, Colossians 3:17. You guys ready? All right, let's read this together. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Father, thank you for this message today. I pray that you would speak to us, clarify some things. Holy Spirit, move me aside. Come in and have your way in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen. Turn to your neighbor and say whatever. Y'all ain't saying that like y'all mean whatever. Come on. Turn to somebody else and say whatever. Whatever. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Whatever you do. We learned last week that whatever means whatever. Wherever you are right now in life, whatever your life is made out up of, whatever you're coming out of, whatever you did or you didn't do, whatever is going on, whatever ain't going on, it doesn't matter. You can do it all in word and deed for the love of Jesus Christ. I don't care if you're sweeping brooms on the floor. I don't care if you're unplugging toilets. You can do that, and that can be, come on somebody, can be done for the glory of God in your life. We learned last week that it doesn't matter what you're doing, just do it all for the Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. So you're saying, well, Pastor, you're telling me that God's will is absolutely whatever I want to do? I'm telling you that whatever you do, make sure you do it God's way. And when you do it God's way, then you'll be walking in God's will. That's all I'm saying. Which means start checking your heart and your motives for how and why you're doing what you're doing. Oh, nobody wants to hear that. Pastor, I don't like that message. Well, that's okay, because it was last week. You can go back and listen to it if you didn't like it. Some people think that God's will means I have to stand on a stage and I have to preach, or I have to stand on the corner and preach. No. That doesn't mean that that's all that God's will is. If everybody in this church was standing on the stage preaching, there would be no people in the audience. God's will doesn't always mean that you got to stand up and preach. Whatever you do can and will become God's will for your life whenever you do it God's way. So now today, let me move on and start to build on that foundation, because last week I gave you God's will. That was the will where there were the three concentric circles talking about his works, his ways, and his will. And this week I'm going to move on. I'm going to talk to you about the window into God's will. So the title of my message today is The Window to God's Will. Everybody say there's a window. Now, a window means this is the way I'm going to look out and see things in my life. So we're going to be talking about the window to God's will. And there are three areas and three things that I want to talk to you about today when we talk about the window to God's will. I'm going to give you the 3 points, and then I'm going to break them down in a second. The first thing is the influence of others. The influence of others. The second thing is life situations. life situations. And the third thing is the leading of the Spirit. The leading of the Spirit. Now, I want you to turn to Genesis 28 because I'm going to break down those three things for you. I know this is unusual for some of y'all. I never give you the 3 points ahead of time, but I'm being nice. So if you're taking notes, all your notes are pretty much done right now if you wrote those three down, things down. I'll repeat them again. The influence of others, life situations, and leading of the Spirit. We're going to go through each of those, and I guarantee you you'll hear them again. So if you didn't get them, don't worry. You'll hear those words come up again. Genesis 28. I want to look at these three elements and the way that God uses to reveal his will. And we're going to look at a person's life. We're going to look at the life of Jacob. And we're going to look at the life of Jacob because Jacob, we're going to see these three areas of revealing God's will, these windows to God's will showing up. Now, let me give you some of the basics about Abraham, about Jacob. Now, we got to go all the way back to Abraham to understand who Jacob is. Abraham had a son, and his name was Isaac. And Isaac had a son, and his name was Jacob. Now, Jacob had a twin brother. His name was Esau. And it was said that when Jacob and Esau was coming out, Esau was born first, but Jacob was grabbing onto the heel of Esau as he was coming out, trying to pull him back in so he could come out first. But it didn't work. Esau came out first anyway. Jacob was the second born, and they named him because he grabbed onto the heel. They gave him his name Jacob. The word Jacob in Hebrew means heel. It's like, this is your nickname, you the heel. Like I said, that's a jacked up nickname from the beginning, right? But from his very first breath, he was trying to get ahead of his brother. From his very first breath, he was trying to be first. Not just because older brothers are cooler, but in this culture, if you were the firstborn, you got the blessing and you got the birthright. It meant you managed the family's inheritance and estate. He was grasping from the womb to get ahead. How many of you ever felt like there was some part of you inside of you? You don't know where it came from. You don't know what happened to you. You don't know how it got there. But there's a part of you that's like, I got to get ahead. I got to be better than this. I got to pull forward. I got to push forward. Well, Jacob was feeling like this from the womb, which meant there was something innate inside of him that says, I got to get ahead. Some of y'all feel like it's circumstances that happened to you. No, there is something that God put in your spirit from the moment you were placed in your mama's belly that said there was greatness inside of you, that says you've got to be more than where you are, that says I've got to have more than what God has given me now. So some of y'all ought to start getting excited because you've been feeling like something's wrong with you for feeling the way you've been feeling, for wanting to have more than what you're feeling in your life. You know why? Because your family is telling you, oh, you ought to be happy where you're at. Just be glad you're doing what you're doing. You ought to tell your family, thank you for that. I appreciate it. But God has put something inside of me that says I'm greater than this, that says I'm better than this, that says I'm more than this. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I got to go after it. Something was intrinsic inside of him, inside the womb, to grab a hold of the heel to say, I got to get ahead. And I'm sure he didn't even understand it. He was just a little baby. But then later on in life, what ends up happening is Jacob decides, I'm going to get the inheritance and the birthright. So him and his mama, because his mama liked him more than his brother, and his daddy liked Esau more than he liked Jacob. Which ought to tell you, parents, you cannot have favorites or you're going to start having your kids pit up against each other. How many of y'all ever felt like your parents loved your sibling more than they loved you? Oh, you ain't got to raise your hand, but some of y'all lifting your hands already. My children constantly tell me that about each other. I got two brothers here. Do you feel like your mama liked the other one more than you? Yep. They're like, yes. My mother does. My kids are 12 and 14 years old, and I tell you, they always say, I know you love him more than you love me. And what I want to say, because ain't neither one of them here, let me tell you the truth. What I want to say is right now, the one that listens, I like way more than the one that don't. I love y'all the same, but I like the one who listens a whole lot more than the one who don't. And each day that changes, right? But Rebecca had her favorites. This is the mom. She had her favorites. So one day, they decided, we're going to, you know, trick Esau out of his birthright. So Esau is a hairy kind of a guy, and he's out. He's a man's man kind of hunting. And just, I want you to think about Duck Dynasty kind of hairy. You know, he was an outdoors man, a man's man. And he comes in from hunting, and he is starving. And he's like, I'm so hungry. If I don't eat, I'm going to die. And Jacob says, well, you know what? I just happen to have made some stew today. And I'll trade you my stew for your birthright. And in the worst deal ever made in the history of mankind, Esau says, okay. I'm going to give you my birthright for the stew. Now, don't be laughing at Esau, because we be doing the same thing too. We satisfy a temporary pleasure at the expense of the future that God has destined for us. I want to have sex now. I ain't got time to be waiting on God to send me the one. Don't be laughing at Esau. You gave up everything for some stew. You gave up everything for some. Let me move on. That is not in the message today. The children, oh man, we got a couple, my bad. Now I want you to fast forward in Jacob's life to the age of 40. Isaac, his father, is dying, so now he's got the birthright, but he still don't have the blessing. Now his father is about to die, and Esau is again in the field. The boy stayed in the field. He's in the field, and Jacob and his mom gets this idea. They say, you know what, Jacob? Go put on some animal skins that make you look all and feel all furry like your brother. And you're going to go, and you're going to go up to your daddy, because your daddy can't see well and he can't hear well. And you're going to let your daddy lay his right hand on you to give you the blessing. Because the right hand being laid on in that time was a sign that the father had released the blessing of God on that child. Now, let me say this, for those of us who are in here and have never had a parent lay their hand on us and bless us, there is a power to having your parent bless you. You find purpose, you feel in destiny, the favor of God gets released on your life. If you are a parent, then you need to lay your hand on your kid's head and you need to bless them. And you're like, that's some spiritual thing, I don't know if it works, just try it. You'll start to see God move. All right, let me move on. So, this birthright was important, because the birthright determined who would ultimately oversee all of the family inheritance. So Isaac comes and he's laying in his bed. Jacob comes to him. Jacob tricks him. His father lays his hand on Jacob's head. Jacob gets now not just the birthright from the stew, but also the blessing. Now Esau comes in and hears this and is mad, because you have not only stolen my birthright, but you've also taken the blessing. And so you know what Esau says? He says, I'm going to kill you, boy. How many times brothers say that to each other? Except I think he really meant this. I'm going to kill you, boy. Now, I want you to look at Genesis 28:1. Now, you need to know that Esau is stronger than Jacob, and he's a skilled hunter. So when he say, I'm going to kill you, you kind of got to take it for what he's saying. It ain't like some joke, right? So his mom and Jacob put a plan together to get Jacob out safely. They're living in a place called Canaan, and they're living there because of a famine that happened in their homeland. Their homeland is the promised land, and the land, it's the land that God promised their grandfather, Abraham. But now they're in this strange land, as God is actually trying to move them back to the promised land. So here we start with point number one, the influence of others. Genesis 1:2. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Now, I want you to know this is not a racist statement. It was because the daughters of Canaan were following other gods. And Isaac was like, I want to make sure you worship the one true God. And if you marry a girl, come on, somebody. How many of y'all know if you marry somebody who has a different religious value than you, y'all going to have some issues in your marriage? Okay. So he's like, you need to make sure that you don't go and get one of these Canaanite women. And he says, arise, verse 2, go to Padan Haram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brothers. Now, that sounds like some country back alley incest kind of stuff. Go get your cousin and marry her. It's basically what he's saying. But I want you to see how God is moving Jacob to the place where God wants Jacob to be. Because ultimately, Jacob is going to get married and carry on the promise of God. So God is trying to fulfill a purpose in Jacob's life. He's working in the history of the world to try to bring forth Jesus Christ, who is going to ultimately save the world. But he's got to work through people's lives and the influence of others to make it happen. So how does he do it? Let's take a look again. Verse 1, Genesis 28, verse 1. Then Isaac called Jacob. Somebody say Isaac called Jacob. I want you to notice Isaac is the one who spoke to Jacob and gave him the plan. It does not say God called Jacob. Isaac called Jacob and he blessed him and charged him. It doesn't say God charged him or God commanded him. You would think that it's God during the commanding, but it's not. It's his father. Oh, I want y'all to get this. God did not directly command Jacob, but he used his father to influence him, to talk to him, to get him where he wanted him to go. I want you to know that God, if you want to know the will of God, God will speak to you through other people. Now, don't underestimate the way that God can use the right people to lead you to the right place. The things that they say, the things that they know, the things that they will speak to you is all designed by God to lead you to the right place. And some of y'all are like, well, I don't want to know what they say. I only want to know what God says. Well, let me ask you this question. What if God wanted to use them to speak to you? Well, why can't God just speak to me by myself? Because you know why God can't sometimes just speak to you by yourself? He will. But why he doesn't always do that? Because you'll get so departed from people. And you'll get so away from people that you won't begin to know whether it's God or not. And the enemy will start messing with you. And you'll think it's God, but it ain't. So God will often use people in your life. Now let me say this. He uses the right people. You can't go to somebody who ain't saved, divorced, and can't stand men as a woman and say, I'm having problems in my marriage. What should I do? Because if you go to them and you say, I'm having problems in my marriage, you know what they're going to say? Leave him. You don't need him. You can do better by yourself. Girl, get on up out of there. And you are now being influenced by the wrong person. And the wrong person will have you walking out of a marriage that God never called you to leave. Oh, y'all don't want to hear me. But that's my mama. I know that's your mama, but your mama don't know Jesus. Not only does your mama not know Jesus, your mama ain't been married in 50 years. And you taking marital advice from your unmarried, don't know Jesus, don't like men mama? Oh, y'all don't. See, God will often command you in a situation, but what will happen is we don't want to listen to the person God is trying to use to get the message to us. Okay, y'all don't like that one. How about, I'll give you one y'all know, teenagers. How many times have you tried to tell your teenager what to do and they don't want to listen to you? I have a 14-year-old. And over the last month, we have been butting heads quite a bit. And I think we have a pretty good relationship. And so I've been praying, Lord, how come this boy don't listen to me no more? And the Lord said, just talk to him. So I said, come here, boy. I talked to him. I said, well, what's going on with us? He says, you know what, Mom? I think that I am starting to develop my own opinions and you don't like them. I said, son, you're right. Watch this. That's what you're supposed to do when you grow up. You're supposed to start thinking on your own for yourself. I'm proud of you for thinking on your own. But let me tell you something. You can't be talking to me any kind of way when you think on your own. I'm going to have to knock you out. He said, fair enough. I will work on how I say it if you work on listening to what I say. I said, fair enough. Let's go. Let me tell you, why do you say that? Because teenagers are, look, I believe culture has caused our teenagers to say that the influence of our parents is not good. culture has caused our teenagers to say that the most important influence in our life is our peers. Culture has caused us to say, your parent don't know nothing. For some reason, 14-year-olds think that we at 40-something are absolutely idiots. And I will tell you, as Mr. Joel said to me a long time ago, he said, I tell kids this. He said, I have been your age before, but you ain't never been my age. Now, that's smart in here, but when you're a boy and you're 14, you don't care. Right. We can see that in a teen, but we can't see that when it comes to our relationship with people who are wiser and smarter than us when we're in our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. We don't want to see that God is trying to bring the right people who love him, who are walking with us, with him, into our lives so that they can lead us and guide us to the perfect will of God. Oh, wait a second. Pastor, that ain't me. Let me tell you something. When was the last time you got mad in the church? Was it because a leader said something to you that you didn't like? Oh, I'm out of here. They can't be talking to me like that. Oh, stop. They trying to bless you. Here's what I've learned how to do. I stop getting emotional when I tell people. I say, people ask me, what does the Lord want me to do? Do you really want to know? Because if I tell you, you might not like it. Let me move on. How about your spouse? Oh, that's a tough one. Some of y'all done prayed for a godly wife and a godly husband. You get them, and then they try to talk to you about what thus saith the Lord, and you like, mm-mm, he ain't say that. God be trying to speak to you through your spouse, but you don't want to hear it. Ain't nobody got time for that. So here's Jacob. Now let me tell you about where Jacob was at this point. Jacob is a 40-year-old virgin. He ain't never been married, ain't got no wife, and don't have no prospect of a wife. The last thing he wants to hear is go off to a faraway place and go look for a woman from his daddy. Jacob is probably like, dude, I want to be married right now. And not only do I want to be married, my brother trying to kill me. And you trying to talk to me about go find a wife? Right now, can you talk to my brother and tell him don't kill me? One of the best things you can do to figure out the will of God in your life is to get the right people around you. If you don't have the right people around you, then you don't have the right voices speaking to you. And if you don't have the right voices speaking to you, you won't make the right choices, and you'll end up in a place that God doesn't intend for you to end up. So you need to start asking yourself the question, do I have the right people around me? How do I know if they're the right people? Start asking yourself, are they being led by God? Do they hear God's voice? Do they talk to God? Do they have a relationship with God? That's how you begin to know if they're the right people. If God has sent you to this church, any of our leaders, pastors, our ordained leaders, they are ordained because we say they're the right people. We have tested them. We've made sure. We've watched them. We've walked with them. If you got a title of pastor or deacon, look, they're the right people. And you saying, I don't know how to get around them. Call them. Go talk to them after church. 90% of them wish somebody would just say, hey, what's up? How you doing? Oh, y'all don't want to hear that. So got to get the right people around you. Let me tell you this. Now let me move on. Okay. So get the right people around you. Here's the second thing. Let's go to the next one. Life situations. So God will speak to you through the influence of others. He'll let you know his will through the influence of others. So that's one window you can look at. And then the next one is life situations. Let's look at Genesis 28, verse 3 through 5. Genesis 28, 3 says, may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you. Now, I want you to just stop for a second and realize that this is the same passage where he already knows that Jacob already knows that his brother's trying to kill him. His daddy has already given him a blessing, and his father's word to him is this: get out of here, go find you a wife. And in the middle of finding out that your brother's trying to kill you and your daddy telling you to leave my house, he says, now God is going to bless you. And not only is he going to bless you, he's going to make you fruitful and multiply you. This had to be a strange thing to him. You're talking to me about blessing, and you're talking to me about increase, and you're talking to me about multiplication and fruitfulness, and my brother trying to kill me, and I got to leave your house. Everything's about to change. Have you lost your natural mind? You know what the crazy part is? God was using Esau trying to kill Jacob to give Jacob the blessing that Isaac was speaking in that very moment. What am I trying to tell you? What the enemy means for evil, God will use for your good. Wait. Hold on. You mean to tell me God had to put me in a situation where my brother tried to kill me so I can get to the point where I'm having and doing exactly what God said he was going to do in my life? Pastor, I don't believe that. Let me give you my story. I was choosing. I said, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I love you. You're amazing, God. And almost 10 years ago, God took my husband and he passed away. I never wanted to be called pastor. I never wanted to pastor a church. I never wanted to have that. That was the furthest. If you'd have asked me what I want to do, pastor would have been the last thing on the list. And then if there were 10 things beyond the last, it would have been underneath those. But God used that awful situation. Come on, somebody. To place me exactly where he had always called me, destined me to be. I know you might be going through some difficult stuff in your life right now, but I want you to know God will use your jacked up situation to put you right on the path where he's been calling you to be all along. See, God had to use an undesirable life situation to get Jacob to the place that he had promised him. Look at verse 3 and 4. He said that you may be an assembly of people. And he said, and I'm going to give you the blessing of your grandfather Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land. Look, not only am I going to bless you, but I'm about to make sure that you and your kids get a land to themselves in which you used to be a stranger, but I gave it to your grandfather Abraham. So Isaac, the daddy says, go on, boy, get out of here. He sends him away. He goes away to Padan Haram to Laban, the son of Bethuel, to the brother Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. This ought to start bringing a lot of clarity to some crazy stuff happening in your life. This ought to de-randomize some of the crazy stuff going on for you. Watch this. Let me see if I can help you. There was a woman who... it was during testimony service at church, and she says, I got a testimony. They said, come on up, sister. And she comes up, and she says, I want to tell people how good God has been to me. And she says, God has been so good to me. And she says, I want you to know that I was down on my last $20. I didn't have no food. I didn't know how I was going to pay my rent. I didn't know how I was going to pay the light bill. But I had $20, and the Lord told me to put it in the offering at church. And she says, so I put my $20 in the offering at church. Well, the lady had a neighbor, and her neighbor was an atheist. And the neighbor and the atheist, the neighbor and the lady would talk a lot. And the atheist would say, I don't know why you believe in that God. He would mock her and he would laugh her. He would say, you got $20 and you giving your last dime. And he decides when a woman's at church, he says, you know what I'm going to do? He said, I'm gonna show her. He went and he bought some groceries. And since he had a key to her house since they was neighbor, he opened the door and he went and he dropped the groceries in at the table. And he left the groceries on the table and he locked the door and he came out. He said, watch what happened when she come home. So she comes home from church after putting her $20 in, and she goes home from church and she sees the groceries and she starts praising them. She says, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. You're a good God. You're an awesome God. She comes outside on the street and she starts saying, my God is a good God. The neighbor starts laughing. He says, you are so funny. I'm proving to you that God does not exist. Here's the receipt. God did not buy you those groceries. I bought you those groceries. And you know what she says? She stops, she looks, and she says, hallelujah, I praise you, Lord. You use the devil to pay for my groceries. I'm going to give God some praise. What am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you God will use crazy situations to move in your life, to do ridiculous stuff in your life, to bring you to the will and the purpose of God for you. And you're sitting back crying, talking about, God, I can't stand you because you ain't doing this. And God is like, if you just be quiet, I'm trying to bring you right where I want you. But it hurts too bad, Pastor. You don't understand. I know I don't. But God will use your circumstances to line you up just where you're supposed to be. Pastor, help me with that. I want you to ask yourself this question. What advantages has God given me to leverage in my life situations? What advantages? Maybe you have an ability to make a lot of money. Do you not know you don't need to pray, God, do you want me to be a giver?
Father, should I take these extra resources of which I'm not capable of making on my own that you blessed me with? Should I take them and should I bless somebody? You ain't got to pray that kind of prayer. If God done bless you and you got extra and it's in your heart to give, you ought to know that God's saying, go and give it. Some of us pray some really crazy prayers. You got four kids under the age of 12. You want to start a business that's going to require 19 hours of your time per day. Lord, do you want me to start this business? What you think? You got to start looking at your situation and say, what do I have going on right now? And what advantages have God given me? And how can I use those gifts to give him glory? That will lead you to God's will. But you also got to start looking at what disadvantages do I have? If I got four kids under the age of 12, come on somebody, and this new business is going to require 19 hours a day, the last thing I think God wants me to do is go start a new business. Why you say that? Because look, he can use anybody in the world to start a business, but he can't use anybody in the world to be them four kids' mama. People say sometimes, Pastor, how come you don't go to everything and do everything? You know why? Because I got two little boys who have one parent. And here's the deal about that one parent. Look, I'm only going to get to see them swing a bat, catch a ball, and pitch for so long in their life. This window of opportunity is going to go away in about 5 years. In 5 years, y'all ain't going to be able to find me. I'm going to be doing everything. What you got? I'm coming to your house. I'm coming to your house. We're coming to birthday parties. We're coming to this. We're going to do that. We're going to do this. But no, I can't do that right now because I got two little ones. Oh, they ain't so little. Two young men who need to look in the stands and see their mama's face. Can't nobody else in here do that for me. So I got to know, is it God's will for me to travel around the country and preach everywhere right now? Absolutely not. I don't even need to ask God about that. Oh, y'all ain't catching this. So those are that's how you use your circumstances to begin to hear what God is saying to you. Now, I want to move to the third point. I want you to watch something. Look at verse 11. Verse 11, so Jacob came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set, and he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he laid down in that place to sleep, and then he dreamed, and behold, the Bible says a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there were angels of God that were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and he says, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you. The third way that God will speak to you is through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Jacob is lying down when he gets to this place, and he closes his eyes, and he has a dream. There's a ladder, and he sees God at the top of it, and God begins to speak to him. These verses remind me of Jesus' word when Jesus said, you cannot come where I'm going right now, but I'm going to send back to you my Holy Spirit who's going to guide you and tell you what you need to do. See, Jacob had a stairway where God began to speak to him about what to do next. We don't have a stairway. We have a Holy Spirit. You ought to have been shouting right there. Let me tell you why. Because Jesus came down the stairs of heaven, died on the cross, was buried, rose again, climbed back up the stairs of heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father and said, look, I cannot stand at the stairs and have a dream every single night for every single person. But what I can do is say, Holy Spirit, let me send you down the stairway of heaven and you go and you reside in the hearts of the people so that whenever they have a question, whenever they have an issue, all they got to do is open their mouth and ask, and I will begin to speak through the power of the Holy Spirit to you where you will know exactly what I'm telling you to do. Jacob said in verse 15, when he saw this ladder, he says, behold, I am with you and you will keep and will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. This is what God is saying, for I will not leave you until I've done what I have spoken. Somebody, that's the word right now. God told Jacob, I will not leave you until I have done for you what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep. Now I want you to watch how he woke, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it. Surely God was here, and I didn't know it. Why is he so surprised? All of Jacob's life, he was grasping for heels and cooking stew and chasing opportunities and manipulating people and manipulating circumstances. And Jacob thought the will of God was something he had to trick his way into. God didn't really want to bless him. God didn't really want to do this for him. He didn't really want to make this way happen. And then he sees a stair and he says, wait, you mean all this time, God, you've been leading me? All this time? After everything I've done to try to get ahead on my own and do things my way, all I had to do was to listen to you and realize you've been leading me and directing me and guiding me each and every step of the way. You mean to tell me, God, that your hand has been on my life all this time and I've been trying to do it on my own? Even if I've been running from God, let me tell you something. God will take the direction you're running, and when you turn your eyes to him, he'll put you right back on the right path. He'll use all of that to lead you. See, people think that God is trying to bamboozle them. Anybody ever seen these little jelly beans called Bean Boozled? And what a Bean Boozled jelly bean is they'll have one color, let's say red, and the red will be strawberry, or it could be poop. Yeah. Flavored, yeah. Not. Or rotten egg flavored and cotton candy or something like that. And we think that when we take those jelly beans and we eat it, we don't know which one we're going to get. And we think God is in heaven trying to give you Bean Boozled jelly beans where you're sitting up going, ha, 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 I tricked you. You thought that was my will, but it's not. See, God ain't got no Bean Boozled jelly beans for you. He ain't trying to trick you. Why would he allow his son to come to the earth and die for you, be buried and rise again, and leave his spirit back if he trying to trick you? God is trying to bless you. Now, watch this, verse 16. Jacob awakes from his sleep and he says, surely the Lord's in this place and I didn't know it. And watch this. And he said, he was afraid and he said, how awesome. How awesome is this place. This is none other than the house of God or the presence of God. And this is the gate of heaven. See, when you start looking at life through the windows of the lens of God's will and God's word, you'll begin to understand his words when he says, how awesome is this? What are you trying to tell me, Pastor? You have been through hell, but if you'll go through it and look to God and his will, let me tell you something. You'll look back and you'll say, I never thought my life would be like this, but how awesome. How good is God? How amazing is God? You want to get to a place where you look at your life and you say, oh my God, this is amazing. This is awesome. I can't believe God. I wake up every day and yes, I get tired because I have two children. I'm a single mom and I get tired because I work and I have a church and I have another business. I get tired about all that stuff. But you know what? I stop every day and I say, thank you, God, because I wouldn't rather be no other place. How awesome is this place you have me in? How awesome, God, is this place? So you have the influence of others. Watch this. You have the life situations and you have leading. But the last thing I want to tell you is this. All of that doesn't matter if you don't put the word of God on top of it. The word of God must be the original window you look through. And you must see, watch this, the influence of others through the word of God. And you must see, come on somebody, you must see God and your life situations through the word of God. And you must see how God leads you through the Holy Spirit through the word of God. Now, if you take that and you put God's word, influence, come on somebody, life circumstances, and leading, what do you get? Take the first letter of each. God's word, W, influence, I, L, come on somebody, life circumstances, and L, the leading, what do you get? The will. And the only way you're going to get God's will is if you put the word on it first. Jesus says this, a solid man comes to me. Come on somebody, OSL folks. And hears my sayings and does them. He who comes to me and builds his life on the rock, which is the word of the Jesus Christ. Come on. When winds come and rains come and waters come and floods come and all those things come, the only thing that will keep my house from falling is when I have a foundation on the word of God. If you don't do anything else as you look at God's will, you better get yourself in God's word. And when you get yourself in God's word, you can evaluate the influence of others through the word. You can You can evaluate your life situations through the word. You can evaluate, come on somebody, the leadings and the promptings in your heart through the word. Some of us get it wrong. We take the ILL and get it ill instead of taking the word and getting the will. What are you telling me, Pastor? I'm telling you, you can listen to other folks, but if it don't line up with the word, it don't mean nothing. You can look at your situations, but if it don't line up with the word, it don't mean nothing. You can listen to your heart and be like, ooh, I feel like I ain't supposed to do this, but if it don't line up with the word of God, it don't mean nothing. What do I want you to do? I want you to exalt your view of God's word and get in his word so you can understand his will. The Bible says that you'll know the will of God when you get transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you do that? With the word. Come on, stand to your feet. I'm done. See, in this church, we're trying to build our lives on the word. That's why I'm so proud of our Operation Solid Lives folks in the front and second row, first and second rows, because they are saying, I'm choosing to build my life on the word. We read our Bibles. How often people in this church? Every day. Like two people, y'all got that. So let's get back on it. In 2018, how often do we read our Bible? Why? Because I'm building my life on the word. And when I build my life on the word, I can look through the window of his word and I can see the influence of others and I can see life situations and I can see the leading of the Holy Spirit and I will be led to the will of God because I'll know. If you're here today, and you're saying, you know what? I got to reconnect with the word. Some of you have been trying to know God's will and you haven't been in the word. Sometimes you get it right, sometimes you get it wrong. I want to tell you, God says, that's all right. You can start right now. Some of you, you've had the wrong people you've been listening to. God says, enough. It's time to start listening to the right folks. Well, how do I know who to listen to? Check the word. Are they speaking the word to you? There are people who will prophesy stuff to you, but if it ain't in the word, just say, psh, thanks for that. Let it roll off your back like duck water off a duck's back. But Father, Pastor, I feel like this is the one. Well, the word says, are they saved? Nope, then they ain't the one. What do you want me to do, Pastor? I want you to get in the word. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you over the next week to commit to reading your Bible every day. Just this next week. And let's see if you don't see God do something special for you. Just read the Bible every day. How many of you say, okay, I got that. I'm going to commit. Lift your hands in the air. I want to pray for you. Father, I pray for every person with their hand lifted right now. I ask you in the name of Jesus that God, as we commit to read your word every day, that Father, you will speak to us, that we know your will. I thank you that you already started in this service. Now, God, I ask that you continue as we leave this place throughout the week. Meet with us like we've never been met with before. Speak to us like never before. Father, I pray for those of us who have the influence of wrong people, that you will move wrong people out of our life, and Father, you will bring the right people in. I pray for those of us who have circumstances that are too great to bear, that we'll be reminded that you're using those circumstances to bring us to your perfect will. And Father, I pray for those of us who are saying, I don't even know the leading of the Holy Spirit, that as they listen to and read your word, that Holy Spirit, your voice will become alive and will become real and become so powerful that they'll say, I know that the Holy Spirit is moving in my life. Father, thank you for this time. Bless everyone that's here today. If you're here today and you've never given your heart or life to Jesus Christ, come on up, our pastors and our deacons. These are some people you can trust. Let me show you the people you can trust. Come on. If you're ordained pastor or deacon, come on up. I just want the ordained ones. Yeah, come on. Come on, Jewel. You close enough. We trust you. She's a pastor in training. All right. These are people you can talk to and you can trust. If you've never given your heart or your life to Jesus Christ, at the end of service, I want to encourage you to come up and talk to them. They'll be here to pray with you. If you're here and you're saying, hey, I just need somebody to pray with me through what I'm going on, they're here to pray with you. And also, I want to remind our first-time guests, if you'll visit me in the hospitality room up front, and if you don't know where it is, our greeters will lead you to it. I'd love to meet with you after service. All right, let me pray for you. How was that? Was that a good word? Get back in the Word so you'll know His will. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Spirit of the living God rest, rule, and abide with each of you henceforth, now, and forevermore. When people ask how you're doing, may your response be, in Jesus' name, I dismiss you in the Lord. Give somebody a hug.
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, Senior Pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, Spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. For audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shayna, service times and directions, or to become a Rohi partner, go to www.rohichurch.org or write to Rohi Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 95138.